Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
I'm great, Earl. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I'm missing my friend.
Your friend?
Yeah.
Sandy?
Yeah.
I'm missing Sandy, too. I was just thinking, when's he coming back?
Oh, he'll be back next week.
Next week.
Spend two glorious weeks in Israel.
Yes. I can't wait to hear about his adventures.
Yeah, yeah. He's a globetrotter. He's a globe traveler, and he has... it was the reason that he hadn't been doing much traveling was... because of COVID,
right.
So he's got a lot of catching up to do.
I'm very jealous.
Miss my buddy Sandy. But anyway, got a lot to talk about, Sam. I want to begin. I'm from just a different time. And I remember when people, showed courtesy when driving. And... it's got to be that I'm just getting older because I don't have patience for people who drive recklessly. Did I ever drive recklessly when I was young? Yeah, I did. Okay. But not to the degree. My reckless driving was, speeding a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I think we all have a heavy foot at first. I definitely had the lead foot at first.
So I used to, a tiny wee.
Just a little.
Little bit. Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
As far as, changing lanes without signaling on the expressway, and not being able to judge, the distance between cars when you swing in and out.
Oh, the swinging it gets me so heated when they come in hot and they're just swerving in and out.
Yeah, and so as I'm coming in this morning, I the amount of people who are driving like that at 70 miles an hour, 75, 80 miles an hour, like during the Indianapolis Speedway, is, mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'm biting my lip because I'm saying, if I could just get my fingers around their neck, you know what I mean?
No, for real, though. I mean, it's not an age thing, I promise.
You are risking the lives of all of these people, terrifying people, and you're not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just based on, I can't say they're not going anywhere, but.
Not any faster than the rest of us.
No, everybody's trying to get somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just the danger that, and knowing that just one false move at 75, 80 miles an hour is a death sentence, right? You're not going to be able to, pull up or pull off. And you see people who are driving cars that don't have, tires with tread on them, that really signals don't work, don't have license plates, and all of those things. And I know they're not comprehending the inherent danger of what is taking place. I don't think they even understand that their lives are in danger and everybody else's. And this is repeated constantly all over the nation on the highways, which really are war zones. We talk about wars and all of those things, but can you imagine how many people are dying on the highways of this nation every day and yearly? Far outpaces any war. And yet, there just doesn't seem to be any way at all to control it. And it just gets worse. And so as I'm watching this, and it's not that I don't watch it all the time, you have to be leery of these things because your life can end in a millisecond, even for something you didn't have any control over.
When I was in college just this last year, we had a huge vigil for two of the students that I had only come across once or twice, but some of my friends had personally known that were hit and killed by a driver going the wrong way. And he was, of course, totally fine. And they both died instantly.
Yeah. Instantly. Yeah.
College kids just taken instantly because of some drunk man deciding that his... You know, getting to one place was more important than following the rules and not, you know, putting others in danger. It's just really, and now they don't have a future.
Well, you know, it said, I guess I just looked it up. Preliminary figures said that 43,000 people died in traffic crashes last year. Contrast that with 10 years of full out war. In Vietnam, when we were in Vietnam and fighting a full-fledged war, 50,000 Americans died in a 10-year war, right? A full-out war, declared war, 50,000 people died. And we all talked about that. What a tragic loss of life in a declared war, you know, with bombing and planes and tanks and all of those things and rockets and 50,000, but yet each year 45,000 people die in car accidents in this country, and it's rising. And to be honest with you, cars have been made safer. They've also been made to go faster, but you know, we have to really be cognizant about things when we're out on the road. And I'm one who really, I don't like taking long rides. There are a lot of people who are going to be on the highways this coming weekend, as the 4th of July weekend is probably one of the most traveled holidays in the entire nation, and so people are going to be gathering and heading out of town for the 4th of July weekend, and you know, man, it takes a lot. I take my hat off to people who can do long rides, long drives. Maybe the younger we are, the more apt we are to do that, but you know, as we, you know, become a little more long of tooth, we don't do it as much because I guess we think about all of those things that could happen. It's kind of strange that as we age, the more we protect our lives than when we're younger. I mean, it's just true.
Yeah.
We think more about mortality when we are older and closer to the end of life than we do when we're young. And that's, I guess, what that old axiom where they say youth is wasted on the young. Because, you know, by the time you learn to understand the value of it and all the things there are in the life that are so important and make it what it is, it's almost time to check out. I mean, really, the knowledge that you gain and wisdom that you gain through the decades of your life, and you say, wow, if only I knew those things when I was 20 years old. But that's not how this is set up. It's set up for that wisdom to come with years, supposedly. Doesn't always come with years, because there's another axiom that goes, there's no fool like an old fool. You know, and so we got a lot of them. But you really, this reckless driving is something that's a pretty new phenomenon from the standpoint that the sheer numbers of people who are driving. It used to be you didn't see people out, for the most part, driving who hadn't had driver's ed. Now there's anybody who doesn't know anything about the rules of the road, and they're just out, and they're just, you know, selfishly. They're worried about me. I got to get through this light. I don't care if the light did turn red, but I got to go. And so those people who are waiting for green and see it's green, I'm not worried about them. They'll wait till I get through running the red light. Man, something has happened in the society, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. You know, I want to talk about something that also has been perplexing to me, and that's panhandlers, right? I mean, I've always been the kind of person that would see somebody, you know, struggling, you know, going back 40 years. And, you know, and I would always give them a dollar, you know, buck or two. And I still kind of do it to this day. But as I went to the service station this morning to get some gas, there's about five people out there, right? And this is what, 7 o'clock in the morning? And they're from, you know, black, white, males, females. And they're all just like zombies, right? I mean, they just got this look in their faces, and they're all trying to get us to give them some money. And so you just, the sheer numbers of people who are now panhandling. And, you know, it's almost like they've just given up. Because what must be happening in your life that's all you see, right? I'm not talking about, it used to be, these would be old guys who basically are my age and older, who are basically in many instances veterans of the wars, mm-hmm. the military, who would, you know, just want something to help them soothe their pain. And so they would want a couple of dollars to go get some liquor. That's what it used to be, panhandling. But not anymore. Sam, have you ever seen women doing it? Young girls, young women?
Yeah, and children with them.
Yes.
I feel horrible, but, you know, I barely can pay my bills.
So, but what has happened that now that's an acceptable kind of reality in our nation?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't know whether there's some mental illness, which we know in some instances there are. But then there's some of it must be beneficial, or maybe some people wouldn't do it sometimes. You see some people that, you know, I mean, if you can hustle up on $100 a day, tax-free.
Right.
7 days a week.
I'm listening.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's, and I'm sure some guys are getting that and better.
Right.
Depending on where you are. I know if you go down by, in Milwaukee, the Pottawatomie Casino.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. And I know by the Rave.
Yeah.
A lot of people go by the Rave.
And so there's a lot of people. And if somebody got lucky at Pottawatomie, and it's nothing to give somebody 10 or 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are coveted spots. But I'm talking about at a service station at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there's five of you. And they didn't look like drunks, right? I mean, they really just were in their, some of them were in their 30s. And I'm like, wow, man, what is it? What is, there's some things going on in our society that we need to address and that we need to work towards fixing. And so I see, and I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not blind. I know everybody within the sound of my voice has encountered the exact same thing. And then you get caught between wanting to help because those are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, look, what's a couple dollars? It's not going to change my life, you know, but it'll make a difference in, maybe in somebody else's life. But if you, you know, and you do it and you say, okay, so I helped this person. But then as you move through the day, there's 40 more like that. And you say, well, listen, I can't get help everybody. So then you come to a point where you pick and choose who you're going to give the money to. And you can't really discern whether or not that person is real or not, if that person is really a person who's deserving. And then if you have any kind of compassion or any kind of heart, You just say, wow, man, what should I do? You know, if you are a God-fearing person, we are, you know, directed to help the poor. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Bob's calling from Wisconsin's East Coast.
Hey, Bob, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm fine, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Help me with this, sir, because...
I will.
All right.
And that is, about three weeks
hey,
ago...
Hey, Bob, let me say this. Why don't you do me a favor? We're going to be going to a break shortly, and I want to give you a chance to have some dialogue with me. Why don't you call back after the break? We're going to take a short break. And then, can you do that for me, please, sir?
I sure can.
Yeah, thanks. And then we'll have that conversation on the other side. Good to hear from you.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, likewise. Right. So am I. And so while we're, you know, at this, I've even seen children panhandling in America.
Yep.
Right? Not in Calcutta. This is America. And I see kids standing and they've learned to panhandle, man, 10, 12 years old. And I remember last year, I saw a young man about 12, 13 years old. I'm driving by, and he's standing on the street corner, and he doesn't have on any shoes. And I pulled over. I said, son, what are you doing out here? You should be in school. And he said, I have to get some money for my mother and for my brother. And I said, oh, wow. You know, this young boy should be in school being educated. And yet he's on a street corner. This is not the Delta in Mississippi in the 1940s or 30s. This is the United States of America in one of the wealthiest nation on earth. And we got children standing out on street corners begging. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We got issues. Be right back.
WAUK and the Shah are the new kids on the radio block. And that block happens to be on Wisconsin Ave, Waukesha. Now is a great time to advertise locally with 540 AM and the Shah 101 FM. While the ads are inexpensive and the audience is rapidly growing. Sponsorships available for This Week in Waukesha, Raised in the Shah, or live local music on the weekends. Spring packages starting at just $495 a month. Get started today by emailing info at waukradio.com.
Announcing Friday Night Live, broadcasting live from Waukesha and only on the Shaw 540 AM and 101 FM. Live music every Friday night beginning at 6 p.m. broadcasting from the Five Points in downtown Waukesha. Friday Night Live broadcasting begins June 3rd at 6 p.m. and will play out all summer long. A special guest host each Friday night. Tune in for the music and variety or come downtown to the Five Points and join the party. Friday Night Live only on the Shaw.
For the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, I'm Luke Mathers with your headlines. The Shaw 101 FM will be broadcasting the surprise January 6th committee hearings live, gavel to gavel, today starting at noon. Last night, a debate was held in Green Bay for the Republican gubernatorial candidates running to challenge Governor Tony Evers this fall. However, the frontrunner in the latest Marquette University Law School poll, Tim Michaels, chose not to attend the debate. The partisan primary for Wisconsin is 6 weeks from today, Tuesday, August 9th. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is defending the Wisconsin lawyers that have been revealed by the House Select Committee to have played a role in attempting to replace Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes in the 2020 presidential election with fraudulent electors. Mainly sunny skies to start the day with a few afternoon clouds and an expected high of 81 degrees. A 60% chance for rain showers this evening with clearing overnight and a low of 58 degrees. You're listening to the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Ting, ting, ting. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Before we went to break, I was talking about, on the way in this morning, I stopped at a service station to get some gas, and at 7 o'clock, there's five guys, standing outside. Clearly homeless, and several of them were young, I would say 30 or somewhere around there. And I know I was talking about before that, many years ago, that panhandler would be a grayed, grizzled, dirty person who was probably 50 and above, and in many instances, a veteran who slept under bridges and ate out of garbage cans. It was what we saw and when we thought about homeless people, that's who we always would see in the vision, was that kind of a person. But now you see people in their 30s. I even talked about the fact before we went to break, a young boy who broke my heart as I watched him panhandling at 13 years old with no shoes on. Should have been in school, but he wasn't. I pulled over to him and asked him, why was he out there? And, you know, so you ask yourself, in his instance, I gave him some money. And you wonder, are you doing the right thing? You know, in that situation, maybe not, because it only encourages him to do even more of that. And so we are caught in a dilemma as caring people on what to do. But there's another side to all of this, too, and that's the fact that in this nation, there are people who are seriously in need. There's no question about that. And we know that, and we know that it's getting worse and worse all the time. And we know that we live in a society that, as Dr. King said, you know, we should be addressing not the fact that there's a beggar and that we can flip a coin or fling a coin to a beggar. We should be addressing a situation that creates beggars, right? I mean, you see all these people, there's something going on that's making that happen. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. What's going on, Tom? How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are ultimately the government, and we cannot forget that. Second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. It's interesting because you were talking about panhandlers, and I thought you were actually talking about the politicians that send us these emails every day looking for, begging for money, because there really is no difference between the two. They're just a bunch of beggars in terms of what it is they want. Something that I've done is that when I've seen someone that has been on the street or whatever it might be, this goes back 20 years, is I'll say, well, come with me. And, you know, and then they'll follow me and I'll take them to the grocery store. And I actually tell them, say, look, because I really don't want you spending money on things that I wouldn't spend money on, number one. And number two, I don't want you spending it on drugs and all that. So I actually take them grocery shopping. And I actually, you know, go in and say, you know, pick out whatever you want. And then I'll pay for it at the cash register. So, you know, sometimes you get people are like, no, I don't want that, you know, cause I'm just like trying to feed them a good apple or, you know, something nutritious, rather than, you know, the stuff that they're putting into their bodies. And that seems to have, I guess, helped, you know. Otherwise I ask them, you know, just like I ask all the people that are doing these protests around the country. You know, you're showing up at protests, but are you registered to vote? Are you taking that protest and marching everyone to the voting booth and overwhelming the voting booth in that same way?
Yeah, but Tom,
just an idea.
I'm saying, as Dr. King stated, you know, there's something going on in a society that is producing more beggars. And, you know, you could find
a lot of it, especially here in where I'm living now.
Yeah, especially LA, you know, right.
Is the mental illness. And I think even being out on the streets, you can develop a mental illness psychosis. And, you know, St. Ronald Reagan, who kicked everyone out of the asylums and out onto the street, that still hasn't been fixed as of today. And, of course, people are shipping people to California because it's warmer here. And, you know, they think people can handle it on the streets a little bit more here, I think. But yeah, I mean, it is a problem. There's no doubt. And I think a lot of it has to do with mental illness. But I think even if you weren't mentally ill before all of this, you become mentally ill just in terms of the fact of, you know, what's out there. Another thing I would say, Earl, which I think is really, really interesting, is that, you know, you ask somebody who's really got a, not a penny to scrape up, and you ask them, are you poor? And they'll say, no, I'm not poor. And because nobody wants, poor is a state of being. And when you ask people if they're poor, even if they don't have a penny to their name, they don't like to say that they're poor. And I think that that messaging is wrong in terms of asking people, you know, if they are poor. Again, it's just kind of a black and white type issue. And then one other thing, I know it's your show, Earl, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but I would like you to bring up, if you could, the topic of polling and the topic of calling elections early and how that really does lead to voter suppression. Because, you know, when people are already being told that the election's over before it even starts, that's voter suppression. Yeah.
So, Tom, let me say this, man, because we are living in a society where now less than 50% of the people vote, or 50% of the people vote, 50% of them don't. Why do you think that is?
Well, I blame the media in some ways because, one, I blame the fact that we're putting out these restrictive voting opportunities for people. But also, we have the technology nowadays that people can go online, or they can go on places and register.
I believe that there are people who have chosen not to vote in this society because they don't trust either Democrats or Republicans. They don't trust the nation whatsoever. They know that even if we vote, we don't see any change in our lives.
Oh, yeah, no, I 100% agree with that, Earl. But, like, what I'm saying is that, you know, like, as an example, we're here in California, right? And they call the presidential election even before we vote. I mean, we should be voting the day before or something.
Yeah, I know, but you know, Tom, even with that, there's still going to be 50% of the people who aren't going to vote. We really need to be asking the questions why those people don't vote.
Well, I think one of the reasons they don't vote is, again, money and politics and all the commercials and stuff that come up beforehand that they get so frustrated they actually become apathetic.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that there are people who don't believe in this government at all. And they don't believe in this government, and it becomes more and more difficult as their lives become more and more difficult to navigate. I agree with that.
But the thing is, it's the only key out of this thing. The problem.
So you and I agree on that. But then they look and see. Because then they look and see. On the one hand, we talk about we need people to get out and vote. We need people to get out and vote. And then we say, things have been jerry-rigged.
Yeah.
Okay. And so because the elections have been jerry-rigged from the beginning and conservatives have been able to control state houses through their jerry-rigging of the system, you then say, wow, okay, so that happens. How are we going to even overcome that? I mean, there's so many things.
Exactly. And then you got people saying in the polling, oh, boy, this election's already over before one vote is taken.
Yeah.
Then you got people that 2 minutes into an election, they call it and say, hey, this candidate won. Well, you haven't counted my vote.
Yeah. Well,
they should not be allowed to call any elections until the votes are all in.
All right.
Period.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. To the Earl Ingram show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I hear what Tom is saying, and if you were just joining us, he was talking about, you know, the fact that we shouldn't be calling elections ahead of time and all those kind of things. But I think it's deeper than that, and we'll get into that, you know, at a different time. But I want to talk about right now is January 6th hearing moved up over fears for Meadows' AIDS safety. Mark Meadows, AIDS safety. Cassidy Hutchinson, who is a person who is and was around Donald Trump, and she was an aide to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows during the attack on the U.S. Capitol. And so she's received death threats. And here's what I don't understand. You know, here's a woman who is going to talk about some of the horrible things that happened on January 6th. How can she be fearing for her life? How is that possible? How can it be that the most powerful nation on earth can't protect this woman because some lunatic from the right has threatened to take her life if she tells the truth about what happened on January 6th? Somebody help me understand that. You know, we spend almost $1 trillion on defense for somebody outside of our country because we're fearful of that. But inside of our own country, some lunatic, you know, MAGA person is threatening to kill this woman because they don't want her revealing the truth. And instead of our nation being strong enough, the FBI, the CIA, to protect this woman, they've got to worry about, well, we got to hurry up and do it quick because there's somebody threatening it. What is that? The most powerful nation on earth can't protect this one woman, and they're afraid that somebody is going to take her life if she tells the truth? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us as a country? Well, we better hurry up, and we're gonna do this quickly because there's been some death threats to her. So, you know, we were gonna have this 2 weeks from now, but we've got to hurry up and get this in because we don't know what is that? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Why are we taking that? As a country, why are we accepting the threats that are coming from people who were supporting the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers? Why aren't we locking them up? We know who they are. We know what's going on. We know the organizing that's going on those levels. Why are we locking them up? They're always, oh, well, all the crime that's going on in those central cities and crime is going on all over the nation and we got to do something about the crime. Do something about that. How is it possible that the United States government is worried about somebody threatening this woman? First came the surprising news that the January 6th committee would be hosting a hearing on Tuesday. Now we know why. Their star witness could be in danger. Is she in danger from somebody from Russia? I mean, you know, is she in danger from somebody from Iran? Is she in danger from somebody from Afghanistan? Is she in danger from somebody from North Korea? No, it's somebody from inside the United States. Why is that even possible? That, to me, makes no sense whatsoever. Cassidy Hutchinson, who was an aide to then-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows during the attack on the U.S. Capitol, was revealed Monday as the mystery witness set to testify before the panel later today. But while the panel said it had hastily arranged a previously unscheduled hearing to present recently obtained evidence and receive witness testimony, it wasn't exactly clear why this couldn't wait until after a planned two-week hiatus the panel was supposed to take. According to the Punch Bowl News report, members of the select committee brought the hearing forward in part over sincere concerns for Hutchinson's physical safety because of what she's revealed to the panel, and that her testimony will inform the hearings that are due to take place in July. So somebody, what is she? Is she afraid of Donald Trump's gang? The thugs that have followed him and support him? Is that what she's afraid of? As Donald Trump runs around the country talking about crime being one of the most important things, he fixes his mouth to talk about crime in cities across the nation, and yet he's got a band of thugs who threaten the lives of people who are willing to tell the truth about him and what he has done and what he stands for? Man, I just don't understand why we as Americans don't question those kinds of things. Why that's okay. The most powerful nation on earth afraid for the life of someone who they're going to have testify to get to the truth about the thug Donald Trump. I don't understand it, never will. You know, we have to, at some point in this country, deal with the realities of what our nation is and what it's become. It has certainly become a nation that is hard to be proud of. I'm just, you know, how can you be proud of that? Oh, well, we've got the most powerful, military on earth, and nobody wants to mess with us. Nobody but your own citizens. I've always said the real threat to this nation is from within. And until we finally realize that and start doing something about the people from inside of this nation, doesn't matter how much money you're going to spend. Nobody's coming inside of this nation. Nobody's attacking this nation. Nobody. Not Russia, not China. Nobody. They know what the outcome of that will be. And since they know that, why are we continuing to spend on that? And yet, inside of our nation, we can't stop the threat from inside of our own nation. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What an embarrassment. We'll be right back.